say good afternoon. And I give my love to each and every one of you this afternoon. I came here with the script, with the burden, thinking that I would just have one. That was going to be the end of it. But the Lord gave me this. And I, of course, you know, I'm 82 years old. And I really don't know what lies ahead, and I don't know what will happen for another year, but I want to be faithful to you all. Pray for me. I think it's 144, guide me. Okay. Would you all sing that?
Shadows o'er me, to my vision dark appear. Let me see my way before me, as at noonday bright and clear. Blessed Jesus, may I feel that thou art nigh. Let me rest upon thy promise. I will guide thee with mine eye. Guide my thoughts, lest they should wander to the empty dreams of earth. Let me on thy goodness ponder, yea, on things of heavenly worth. Blessed Jesus, may I feel that thou art nigh. Let me rest upon thy promise. I will guide thee with mine eye. Guide my words that they be spoken in such kind and loving way. They may heal a heart that's broken, someone's darkness turn to day. Blessed Jesus, may I feel that thou art nigh. Let me rest upon thy promise. I will guide thee with mine eye. Guide my actions, O my Father. Guide my soul to heaven's shore. Thee I'll follow and no other. Be my guide forevermore. Blessed Jesus, may I feel that thou art nigh. Let me rest upon thy promise. I will guide thee with mine eye.
The thought the Lord has given me is the spirit of meekness. Let's bow our heads. Dear Father, we come before your throne, depending on you, Lord, asking you to anoint your word, ask you to give us strength to do your will. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I was thinking about meekness. I kind of wanted to get some foundation from the dictionary, the online dictionary. So it says that meekness is the quality of being gentle, patient, and humble, often defined in philosophical and theological contexts as strength under control. It is the deliberate choice to restrain one's power, temper, or anger, often instead for kindness, a teachable spirit, and grace toward others. So that's meekness. And to me, meekness is a quality of being meek. So the word meek itself, it says, describes someone who is quiet, gentle, and submissive. It often refers to a person who is patient, avoids arguing, and endures injury without complaint. So if we kind of let that soak in and think about having a spirit of meekness, it seems like we're going to have such a humble spirit to where we are not high-spirited. I've seen in one or read or heard that meekness is without spirit. Some people are very opinionated, high-spirited, and that's really kind of the opposite of what meekness is. Sometimes you may wonder, why do I need to be meek? Well, there are advantages to being meek. It may seem like there are none, because a meek person seems like a person that other people run over and take advantage of. And a person that's high-spirited is not going to let that happen. You're just not going to take advantage of me. You're not going to run over me. You're not going to talk about me and get by with it. And you're not going to think you're better than I and you got more sense than I have. But when it comes to meekness, all of that's kind of erased. And when we have a meek and a quiet spirit, we can take some things. It's going to affect our relationship with other people, and it's going to affect our relationship with God. And when we are saved and filled with the Spirit of God, we're going to be meek. It's going to change our attitude toward ourselves, kind of toward who we are. See, a meek person is not interested in trying to develop a reputation or make you feel like I'm somebody and you don't bother me. No. Why should we be meek? Jesus was meek. Let's go to Galatians 6:1. I want to say this in my defense. I have problems with tremors. So if I write down a scripture and it's the wrong one, be patient with me. Did somebody get that? Galatians 6:1. You see, we might see someone that's, you know, doing something we feel like they shouldn't have done. But even if we do it, if we are responsible to help that person, we need to have the spirit of meekness when we go to them. It's going to affect our relationship with others. It's going to affect how I look at the other person in relationship to me. Do I feel like they're better than I am? Do I feel like I'm better than they are? A meek and a quiet spirit will not let me push myself forward and try to make myself as though I'm something special. Colossians 3 and 12.
Of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye.
So, it's a virtue that the Lord requires of us as his people. It's not only, sometimes we might think it's a choice. It's a choice in that he won't make us do it, but he is telling us as his people to put on meekness. It's not something that comes natural. There may be a few naturally meek people, but generally human nature, it's not that way. Look at two little children. There's one child that has a bike, and the two want to ride the bike. The meek child would give in to the other, but most of the time, you're going to have to teach them to do that. They're not going to just give up. I had it first. It's my bike, and I don't want to share it. That's the human nature. Well, that grows up in us. When we get older, we're kind of the same way. Maybe we won't act quite like that, but we'll be feeling that way within us. But if we have the spirit of meekness, it's going to come from within. It's something to desire. Even though it seems like you're not going to get anywhere in life, but God looks down on it with pleasure, and he puts his approval on it. And that's what we want. Meekness is a virtue of Christ, isn't it? And we want to follow him. We want to please God. And in order to do that, we need to put on meekness. Let's go to Matthew 5 and 5.
Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
Look, this seems quite contrary to what you would think. How do you think a meek person going to inherit the earth? You would think they wouldn't inherit anything because somebody would take everything away from them. But you know something? You have the power of God over you. And when you are meek, God will supply. You will inherit the earth. You will inherit all the bounty that God has because this is his will. 1 Peter 3, read 3 and 4.
Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price.
So, the Lord doesn't look... Man looks on the outward appearance. You know, you have all your hair all fixed nice, your clothes all fixed nice, your face all nice, and you just inviting. But God is not looking at that. He looks in the heart. And to him, that's the one that has the most value. The heart, a meek and a quiet spirit. Not just a put on, not I'm quiet, you know, I'm standing up inside, but outside I look quiet and meek. That's not going to work with God because he sees the inside and he wants us to have the inside meekness where when things don't go right, we can still have that meek and quiet spirit. And so we want to be like that. There's a song, To Be Like Jesus. Can we sing one verse of that, or does anybody know that? To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. I only ask to be like him. We want to be like Jesus because Jesus was our example of meekness. He had meekness in dealing with other people. And I believe he wants us to have that kind of meekness as well. And not only so, I believe that if we can have this kind of spirit, it will solve a lot of problems. I'm willing to believe a lot of marriages would be intact today if somebody had a meek and quiet spirit. But you know, one person say something and the husband may say something the wife doesn't like, and she rears up and calls him, you know, you're not right, say little things, and it goes on and on, back and forth. But if the wife can be of a meek and quiet spirit, that was what was referred to in 1 Peter, was the wives, don't you know, I believe, she could save a marriage. One scripture says a wise woman builds her house, but a foolish woman tears it down. Do you know, if we don't have this meekness, we can tear relationships down. Our marriages, our relationship with our children, our relationship with other people. So we need to have this meek and quiet spirit. Did anybody get that song? That's okay if you don't know it. Let's go to Matthew 11, read 28 and 29.
Matthew 11, 28 and 29. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls.
Jesus is meek. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest to your soul. In one of the scriptures, it says that you'll delight yourself in the abundance of peace, I believe. So if we can have this meek and quiet spirit, the Lord, we can be at peace, we can be at rest, and we can help to create an environment of peace and rest. One scripture say, my people live in a peaceable habitation, in quiet resting places. This is what happens among the saints. I kind of probably going to embarrass Bertha a little bit. This is her first time being in this monarch. And she mentioned more than one time the peace she sees and the peace she feels. That's what the Lord wants among us. You know, we get nowhere when we got to strive and try to have things, get our point across and all these things. But if we can just be humble and of a peaceable spirit and of a meek and humble spirit, God can bless our whole environment, everything around us. We can have a habitation. Our homes will be at peace. Everywhere around us can be peace. But we have to give up some things to be able to do that. We have to be willing to not have it my way. We have to be willing to not have the last say. We have to be willing not to argue. You remember in the definition, it's a person that avoids argument. They don't want to be around arguments. They don't want to engage in arguments. And this is what a meek spirit will do. So we don't have a spirit of self, but we have slain self, and we take on the spirit of Christ, which is meekness and quietness and gentleness. Matthew 19, verses 16 to 17.
And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments.
This is an example of Jesus having meekness. In other words, he didn't take this, you know, good master. You know, a lot of time when people say something, they lift you up. A meek spirit is not going to take it. It's not going to enjoy being lifted up. I had one young man I was talking about, and I said, he's such a good man. He just, young person. He said he didn't want it. And then I realized that's why. You know, he's supposed to be like that. You're not supposed to be where you gloat and you're happy because somebody is saying something good about you. A meek spirit is going to say, why you call me you meek good? There's none good but God. This is Jesus setting the example of meekness. Let's go to Philippians 2, 5 to 7. One, look at Jesus' example. And we can take that as our example, how to show forth the spirit of meekness. This is something that we need to have daily. It's not something that, okay, we can have on Sunday, and then Monday through Saturday we have another kind of spirit, but we need to have it every day. In every work, in every interaction that we have with other people.
Philippians 2 and 5 through 7. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men.
Read that, the next verse too.
And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
He didn't come here or even try to make himself of any reputation. Do we have a reputation? Do I have a reputation? I am not to seek to have a reputation. If I am humble and of a meek spirit, I'm going to be just like Jesus. I'm here to do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. The glory goes to him. Sometimes somebody will say, oh, you do such and such. Not me. Somebody was telling me something the other day. I said, look down on that floor. You see some dirt? That's me. You got to have an humble spirit to feel like, because God, we don't need any glory. We don't want any glory. We want all the glory to go to him. 2 Corinthians 10 and 1.
Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold toward you.
See, the apostles realized the value of having the meekness and gentleness of Christ. This comes with the Spirit of the Lord. When we get saved, I'm going to break it down like this. When we first get saved, we repent of our sins, and God forgives us our sins. But there's another work of grace we need to go on to. Because if we don't go on to the second work of grace, we're not going to be of this meek and quiet spirit. Self is going to be on display over and over again. You know, that's just so-and-so. That's the way they act. That kind of thing. We don't want that. We want to have a meek and gentleness of Christ, that what comes out is Christ and not ourselves. Oh, you know, that's just Doris. That's the way she is. As she's just whatever. We don't want that, do we? We want Christ as to shine out on a daily basis in all that we say or do. And we must have this meekness and gentleness of Christ. Galatians 5:19-23. It is a byproduct, I'll say, or a part of being filled with the Spirit of God.
Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law.
Do you know you can't be too meek? Some people might think so, but it's not. We can have, if that scripture says, in meekness is in there, it says against such there is no law. Sometimes people say, you're just too meek. I wouldn't let them say that to you. Why do you let them say that to you? Why do you let them do that against you? Submit to the Lord. Submit it to God. Have this meek and quiet and gentle spirit, and the Lord will take care of it. The Lord will take our part. Sometimes it may seem like it's not going to work for me. I got to say something. I got to stand up for my right. But no, let the Lord have it. Let him stand up for us. God put great value on meekness. It looks like no. It looks like there's no value in it. But God puts great value in it. And we want to have him fill us. If we feel that we need help, we can go to him. We can ask him, Lord, I see that I need to be more humble, more meek. Fill me more with your spirit. When he fills us more with his spirit, that's what's going to come out of us. Psalms 37:11. There are great promises to the meek.
But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace.
Isn't that wonderful? We can be at peace. Sometimes you wonder, how can you be? Do you know there's a scripture that passes all understanding. Peace that passes all understanding. And what that means is the peace that you're going to get and I am going to get from being meek is going to pass what man could look at and think, how in the world can you be at peace? But God gives us this peace. The peace, meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. I haven't really found anybody that doesn't like peace. Most people like peace. This is one of the ways to get it. Humble ourselves and take on the meekness and gentleness of Christ, and we can be at peace. Psalms 147 and 6.
The Lord lifteth up the meek, he casteth the wicked down to the ground.
The Lord's going to be there for us. I would rather have the Lord on my side, fighting for me, taking care of me, than me out there trying to fight for myself. Sometimes it'll seem like it works. You'll think, oh, it's going to work. And you'll find that it's disaster, I believe, every time. So when we humble ourselves and when we let the Lord fight our battles, we can have great peace. One scripture say, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. This meekness will help us forgive other people that offend us. It will help us in our problems of life with other people. And it will certainly help us in our relationship with God. I believe that if we have this meekness, it's going to help us in obeying God. Have you had a little trouble doing what the Lord wants you to do? Just go right on down. Have a meek spirit, and the Lord, you'll be willing. One scripture says he provides the will and to do of his good pleasure. So we want to have this. People in the Old Testament time that were successful were willing to do what God would want them to do. Moses, the scripture said, was the meekest man. And if we want to follow God, which as we listen to the messages, we find that we want to go all the way to the end. Brother, I wasn't here, but we heard it on our way, and he was saying the goal was heaven. But this is the way. This is the way to get there. We need to take down, be willing to take down, and the Lord will help us out. Let's go to Philippians 2 and 3.
Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves.
This is meekness. That's, somebody say, meekness gone to seed. When you esteem others better than yourself, that's a high level of meekness. He tells us to do that. How many of us really think other people are better than we? I didn't see any hands up or anybody saying yes. It's just to get this is what we need. We need to ask the Lord to help us to have that level of respect to other people, that level of looking at others better than themselves. When we do that, that's meekness. A meek person, you would think that they don't exalt themselves. They don't. They feel like they're willing to give. They're willing to let the other person have it. They're willing to let the other person win the discussion. How many of us want the other person to win the discussion? If we're discussing something, we want to show that we're right. That's natural. But the meek person gives in, and they let the other person have it. Romans 12 and 10.
Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another.
So when we're meek, we're going to prefer the other person. Instead of, you know, I got here first, and so I need to have it first. No, you go ahead. You have it. That's the last piece of dessert. Not sure I wanted it, but I can meekly give it to the other person. I was looking in the scriptures, and the Lord brought to me yesterday about David. David made a lot, he made a big mistake, and he really did wrong. But David was considered a man after God's own heart. And I saw in the scripture in 1 Kings 24, let's read 1 through 7. And then we're going to go, let's just go to 15. Because in this account, we can see how meekness can work and how we can esteem the other better than ourselves. David was being chased by Saul. And, you know, that was a very hard thing for him. But he had a meek attitude, even to his enemy that was chasing him. Yeah, 24. I mean, 1 Kings, sorry, 24.
There's no 24?
Could be. It's where he was in the cave. And when he came out, he called to Saul. Saul was chasing him. Okay. Is it 24? Okay.
And it came to pass, when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, "Behold, David is in the wilderness of Engedi." Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes by the way, where was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, "Behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee." Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord." So David stayed his servants with these words and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. David also arose afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, "My lord, the king." And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. And David said to Saul, "Wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, Behold, David seeketh thy hurt? Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how that the Lord had delivered thee today into mine hand in the cave, and some bade me kill thee, but mine eyes spared thee, and I said, I will not put forth mine hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see the skirt of thy robe in my hand, for in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and killed thee not, know thou and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in mine hand, and I have not sinned against thee, yet thou huntest my soul to take it." Continue to where?
I want where he calls himself a dead dog. You see it? Who are you coming after? Did you go to 15?
Okay, I'll continue. The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. As saith the proverb of the ancients, wickedness proceedeth from the wicked, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. After whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog? After a flea? The Lord therefore be judge, and judge between me and thee, and see, and plead my cause, and deliver me out of thine hand.
Thank you. So, and God did deliver him, but he referred to himself as a dead dog and as a flea. And he looked at, he called Saul my father. So that is an example of meekness. Thinking of the other highly, more than we do ourselves. Who are you fighting out? You're not fighting. You're just fighting a dead dog. You're coming after a dead dog. You're coming after a flea. I'm just a flea. But the Lord did fight for him, and he won. And the Lord will fight for us. If we can have that kind of attitude about other people and not think of ourselves so highly, have that spirit of meekness, God will fight our battles for us. It may seem like we'll go through some real hard things, but it won't be forever. God is God Almighty, and he's still able to fight for us if we are willing to have a meek and quiet spirit. So I hope that these few little thoughts will encourage us to change our attitude toward ourselves. Not think of ourselves as so much. Think of the other person as higher than we are. I believe the Lord will fight our battles. One scripture, he said, I'll fight for you and you shall hold your peace. Pray for me.